Morning, everyone, and welcome to this discussion of the third quarter 2015 results for Sequel Communications Holdings One, LLC, and its subsidiaries, which do business as Suddenlink Communications. Before we get started, we'd like to remind you once again that certain statements made during this conference call might be considered forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Act of 1995. Those statements are subject to the various risks and uncertainties described in our annual report and our quarterly report for the third quarter of 2015, which are posted to our website. These risks and uncertainties could cause actual future results to differ materially from the results expressed or implied by any forward-looking statements made on this call. The information discussed today will be based on our earnings release for the 3 months ended September 30th, 2015. The earnings release, along with our quarterly report and a set of slides for today's call, have been posted to the Investor Relations section of our website at suddenlink.com. If you'd like to follow along, the slides for this morning's call can be found on the presentations page of the Investor Relations website. Our earnings release compares actual and pro forma financial and operating results for the third quarters of 2015 and 2014. Today, our presenters will focus on year-over-year pro forma results. This pro forma information reflects the divestiture of Small Cable Systems on December 1, 2014, and the acquisition of cable systems from New Wave Communications on October 1, 2014. With that, I'll now turn the call over to our Chairman and CEO, Jerry Kent. Jerry?
Thanks. Good morning, everyone. I appreciate you joining us. Before we discuss third quarter results, let me first note that our teams continue to make steady progress on the governmental approvals required for the Altice acquisition, with numerous approvals in hand. We've also had a number of transition planning meetings with Altice leadership. Barring unforeseen circumstances, we still expect the transaction to close before the end of the year. Assuming it does, this will be my last earnings call as CEO. When we signed the agreement with Altice in May, I announced that after closing the transaction, I would focus on other businesses through my investment and management company, Sequel 3, and that's still my plan. And Altice, as I indicated on the earnings call last week, plans to announce Suddenlink Management at closing. Throughout my entrepreneurial career, I've been excited and energized by seeking new opportunities and companies, and I'm looking forward to the next chapter. Until then, it's been my distinct pleasure and honor to found and lead this company, and I want to thank all of you for your longstanding interest in and support for what we've accomplished. Beyond those points, please note that we will not have additional details to share on the subject of the Altice acquisition at this time. Accordingly, the balance of our prepared remarks and our answers to any questions you might have today will be limited to a discussion of our third quarter results and general industry matters. All right, let's turn to the third quarter. We're pleased to report results that validate the growth strategies we've been pursuing. As noted on slide five, total revenue in the third quarter this year was up 3.6% over the third quarter last year. Furthermore, after adjusting for the cyclical nature of ad sales in years like this one, when there are no major elections, our total revenue, excluding political ad sales, in the third quarter increased 4.1% over the year-ago period. Our revenue growth over the trailing 12 months was primarily driven by two business segments, commercial services and residential internet. In commercial services, business internet and phone customers combined were up more than 15,000 units, or 15.1% in the trailing 12 months. And residential internet customers were up nearly 65,000, or 5.7% in the trailing 12 months. We also had continued success in selling and upgrading customers to higher speed internet tiers and in selling our Wi-Fi at home service. Our selling rate of 75 meg or faster internet services is approaching 50%, and we're averaging speed upgrades for existing customers of approximately 17,000 per month. That's over 200,000 speed upgrades on an annualized basis, or nearly 17% of our residential internet customers as of September 30th. With respect to Wi-Fi at home, our selling rate for this service was nearly 63% of new high-speed internet connects in the third quarter, and total customers with this service now exceed 430,000, or more than one-third of all of our internet customers. Growth in adjusted EBITDA before non-recurring expenses was remarkably strong up 13.1% in the third quarter of 2015 versus the year-ago period. In fact, that's our best year-over-year EBITDA growth rate for a single quarter in 6 years, since the second quarter of 2009. And after non-recurring expenses, adjusted EBITDA grew 17.1% compared to the third quarter of 2014. The current period's year-over-year EBITDA growth was largely driven by the aforementioned growth in revenue from high-margin residential internet and commercial services, along with significant year-over-year reductions in certain direct expenses due to strategic decisions we made in our video and phone businesses. As a result, we've seen a year-over-year improvement in the gross margin of every PSU category, video, internet, and phone. Internet gross margin increased 100 basis points as we focused on upselling to higher tiers. Phone margins increased 1,730 basis points due to the success of Operation Reliant. And video gross margin increased 190 basis points, mainly due to the replacement of a major program supplier, although programming costs are still rising on a per-subscriber basis, as Mary will discuss. Turning to page 6, you'll see that despite our ongoing investments in Operation Gigaspeed, we continue to generate significant free cash flow of $76.1 million in the third quarter of 2015, and that's more than double our free cash flow in the year-ago period. Let's now look at customer and unit trends. We continue to achieve solid growth in residential customer relationships. In the third quarter, we gained approximately 15,000 customer relationships. In the trailing 12 months, even after making a major strategic shift in our video services by changing out a major programmer, we added more than 23,000 relationships for 1.6% growth through September 30th. Including commercial customers, total relationships were up nearly 31,000, or 2.0%, in the trailing 12 months. With respect to units, as noted earlier, we continued our solid growth in residential internet, gaining nearly 22,000 units in the third quarter and nearly 65,000, or 5.7%, in the trailing 12 months. In basic video, we lost approximately 8,500 units, or 0.8%, of our video customers in the third quarter. While that's more than the year-ago period, the third quarter of 2014 was our best third-quarter performance in basic video in the last 7 years. In fact, the current third quarter's loss was slightly above the average losses that we experienced in the third quarters of 2009 through 2013. Our trailing 12-month video loss was 6.7%. However, as noted on prior calls, this 12-month trend in basic video will continue to be impacted by the expected bubble of video disconnects we experienced in the fourth quarter last year until full-year results for 2015 are available, and we're already seeing evidence of this. For example, our October basic video results this year compared very favorably to the year-ago period. In fact, we had a basic video net gain this October, and our trailing 12-month basic video loss through October 31st is 5.2%, which shows a notable improvement over the 12-month trend through September 30th. We expect our trailing 12-month video loss percentage to continue to improve significantly in the fourth quarter. The final point I'll make on video is that net gain of video digital video customers in the third quarter of this year is the best quarterly performance in this category in the last four quarters. That's a testament to this company's ongoing commitment to the video category, including our continued investments in moving more customers to all digital lineups and the planned addition of another 20,000 hours of content to our on-demand library. With respect to phone units, we had a net gain of 3,400 during the third quarter. We revamped our triple play bundle starting in October, and we expect this to improve our ongoing phone trends. Now, before I conclude my remarks, let me note that Altice is acquiring a company that is performing exceptionally well. We generated 13.1% EBITDA growth before one-time expenses and 17.1% EBITDA growth after one-time expenses this quarter compared to the year-ago period. We've recently repositioned our marketing efforts to focus more on bundling services. As a result, we have considerable fourth quarter momentum in customer relationships in every PSU category. In October, we experienced the best October in the last 5 years with respect to net gains in every category of our RGUs, and we set a new October record for customer relationship net gains. For all these reasons, we believe the company is in excellent shape and well-positioned for the transition to new ownership. And with that, I'll turn the call over to Tom McMillan for additional details on our third quarter operating results and an update on Operation Gigaton. Tom.
Thanks, Gary, and good morning, everyone. I'll start by providing more detail on our customer results beginning on slide 8. At September 30, we had 1.45 million residential customer relationships, up over 23,000 relationships, or 1.6% in the trailing 12 months, and up more than 27,000 through the first 9 months of this year. Aiding this growth in customer relationships was our success in adding nearly 102,000 non-video customers in the trailing 12 months, representing 29.8% year-over-year growth. At September 30, non-video customers represented more than 30% of residential customer relationships. Turning to our unit results, which are summarized on slide 9, we had approximately 2.86 million residential PSUs at September 30. As Jerry noted, residential internet was once again our leading service category, up nearly 65,000 units or 5.7% in the trailing 12 months. As a result, residential data penetration of estimated homes passed was 38.6% as of September 30 this year, up from 37% as of September 30 last year. At the end of the third quarter, more than 85% of our high-speed internet customers had 50 meg or higher speeds, and we were approaching 20% of our high-speed internet customers with download speeds of 75 meg or higher. What's more, over 90% sell-in rate of 50 meg or higher services was almost 7 times higher than the comparable sell-in rate for the same quarter a year ago, and our over 45% sell-in rate of 75 meg or higher services was up from a less than 1% sell-in rate for those services in the year-ago period. With a combination of current marketing programs and the higher speeds enabled by Operation Gigaspeed, we expect continued success in serving more customers with higher speeds in the months ahead. A complement to our high-speed internet service is Suddenlink Wi-Fi at Home. During the third quarter, our sell-in rate for this service was 62.8% of new high-speed internet connects, contributing to a net gain of more than 23,000 Wi-Fi at home customers and representing the 13th consecutive quarter with Wi-Fi growth of more than 10,000 units. In the trailing 12 months, Wi-Fi at home grew 25.9% with a net gain of nearly 89,000 units, bringing total customers with this service to more than 430,000, exceeding one-third of all internet customers. On telephony, we finished the quarter with over 560,000 residential customers, up nearly 13,000 units or 2.3% in the trailing 12 months. As a result, residential phone penetration of estimated homes passed was 20.8% as of September 30 this year. On basic video, we finished the quarter with nearly 1.1 million customers. As Jerry mentioned, the trailing 12-month basic video trend will continue to be impacted by the expected volume of video disconnects we experienced in the fourth quarter of last year until full-year results for 2015 are available. Next, I'd like to briefly touch on commercial unit results for the third quarter of 2015. On slide 10, we note that our nearly 46,000 commercial phone customers at September 30 resulted from adding 7,600 customers in the trailing 12 months, representing 19.8% growth. Over the same period, we added 7,700 commercial data customers, ending the second quarter with more than 70,000 for a year-over-year growth rate of 12.2%. In addition to its impact on the residential side of the business, Operation Gigaspeed is also helping us improve the services we offer our commercial customers, and these enhanced services are fueling our continued market share growth in this segment. Overall, We've had solid success adding commercial customer relationships, up 8.3% during the trailing 12 months to more than 96,000 at September 30. Of those commercial relationships, nearly 51% were bundled customers taking two or more commercial services from us. In the trailing 12 months, bundled commercial relationships increased 15.8%. We also continue to see solid gains in our carrier services group. As of September 30, we had successfully completed and initiated billing for more than 1,800 fiber-to-the-tower tenants, with over 145 more on signed contracts and in the process of being installed. I'd now like to conclude my remarks this morning with an update on Operation Gigaspeed, which is summarized on slide 11. First, the nearly $61 million in capital expenditures we invested in this project in the first 9 months of the year supported a number of critical steps, including various network enhancements and CMTS upgrades. Project to date, we've now increased speeds in over 100 cable systems serving more than 1.1 million Internet customers, which represented more than 92% of our total Internet customers at September 30. In the markets where initial upgrades have been completed, our flagship speed more than tripled from 15 meg to 50 meg, with our top speed increasing to 150 meg in most areas. In addition, as of September 30, we had launched our 1 gig service in 13 markets. Between then and today's call, we launched 1 gig in another 11 markets, bringing the total with this service year-to-date to 24 markets, serving more than 400,000 residential Internet customers, or just over one-third of all residential Internet customers at September 30. Through the balance of the year, we expect to launch our 1 gig service in several more markets, serving nearly 100,000 additional Internet customers. Note that in the markets where we launch the 1 gig service, our other standard speeds become 50, 100, and 200 meg. And as that happens, former 75 meg customers are automatically upgraded to the 100 meg service, while 100 and 150 meg customers are upgraded to the 200 meg service at no additional cost to these customers, which further reinforces our leading competitive position. Thank you for your time today. I'll now turn things over to Mary for a closer look at our financial results. Mary?
Thanks, Tom. Today I'll discuss financial results for Sequel Communications Holdings One LLC and subsidiaries for the third quarter of 2015, adding to what Jerry and Tom have already provided. I'll also discuss our balance sheet and liquidity position. Let's look first at revenue, which is summarized on page 13. Total third quarter 2015 revenue was $605.1 million, representing growth of 3.6% or approximately $20.8 million over the third quarter of 2014. This year-over-year increase in total revenue was largely attributable to a 10.6% growth in commercial revenue, including a 15.1% growth in commercial high-speed data, on-net carrier services, and commercial telephone revenue on a combined basis, and a 16.8% growth in total Internet revenue, primarily driven by the trailing 12-month growth in Internet and home networking units, our success in upselling new and existing customers to higher speeds, as Jerry and Tom described, and the aforementioned growth in commercial Internet services. These revenue increases were offset in part by a year-over-year decline in advertising revenue due primarily to the transition from a record-setting political ad sales year in 2014 to 2015, a year with no major elections. The total revenue growth, excluding political ad sales, was 4.1%. Video revenue declined year over year due largely to video customer losses in the last 12 months and reduced digital premium and pay-per-view revenue. These factors were offset in part by increases in broadcast retransmission revenue, converter rental revenue for HD and DVR-capable digital converters, and the impact of video rate adjustments, which were completed in May of this year. Recall that our commercial lines of business, which are embedded in the video, high-speed internet, telephone service, and other revenue categories, are comprised of commercial and bulk video, commercial high-speed data, commercial telephone, and on- and off-net carrier services. In the third quarter of 2015, revenue of $93.6 million from these commercial sources represented approximately 15.5% of total revenue. Turning to page 14, we note that our adjusted EBITDA margin before one-time expenses improved from 37.1% in the third quarter of 2014 to 40.6% in the third quarter of 2015, as we drove higher margin internet revenue and saw significant reductions in certain direct expenses. Overall, total operating costs and expenses in the third quarter of 2015 declined 4% over the year-ago period. Regarding direct expense reductions, we achieved year-over-year direct telephone expense reductions due to the completion in late 2014 of telephone migrations to our in-house platform, resulting in a much improved telephone gross margin in the third quarter of 2015 versus the year-ago period. We also saw a year-over-year decline in total video expense in the third quarter, which was primarily a result of the loss of basic video customers in the trailing 12-month period, and the replacement of a major programmer, offset in part by the cost of new channel launches, the impact of contractual rate increases, and increased broadcast retransmission expense. On a per-basic video subscriber basis, which controls for video subscriber losses, combined basic and retransmission programming costs increased 4.5% in the third quarter 2015 versus the year-ago quarter. This rate of increase was muted in comparison to recent years due to the replacement of a major programmer. However, we expect video programming cost increases per basic video subscriber to mirror historical trends as we go forward. The reduction in direct expense was offset in part by increases in labor and employee-related costs and consulting fees. Labor and employee-related expense increased due to the impact of annual salary increases, headcount increases, primarily in door-to-door sales and technical operations, and increases in health insurance and other benefits. Consulting fees increased from growth and efficiency-related initiatives we undertook in the third quarter. We incurred non-recurring expense of $6.9 million in the third quarter last year, primarily related to our telephone platform migration, expenses that were not repeated in the third quarter of this year. Before the impact of non-recurring expenses, adjusted EBITDA for the third quarter 2015 was $245.6 million, which was up 13.1% over the same period in 2014 and resulted in an EBITDA margin before non-recurring costs of 40.6% versus 37.1% in the year-ago quarter. Adjusted EBITDA after non-recurring expenses was up 17.1% and resulted in an adjusted EBITDA margin of 40.7% versus 36% in the year-ago quarter. Income from operations for the third quarter 2015 was $67.2 million, up 7.9% over the year-ago period. This increase was primarily driven by improved operating results and a decrease in total depreciation and amortization expense, offset in part by an increase in non-cash share-based compensation expense resulting from the Altice acquisition agreement. We had an income tax benefit in the third quarter 2015 that reduced our year-to-date tax provision. The calculation of each quarter's tax provision or benefit is impacted by the amount of non-cash share-based compensation expense relative to our estimate of full-year pre-tax book earnings and the methodology for allocating the estimated annual tax provision to our quarterly results. We anticipate our income tax provision will be reduced further in the fourth quarter, coming in line with our full-year forecast of $5 million in cash taxes and the use of $25 to $50 million of our NOL balance, which stood at $1.64 billion as of December 31, 2014. Turning to page 15, we note that capital expenditures in the third quarter 2015 were $108.4 million, or 17.9% of revenue, inclusive of $21 million for Operations ASB. For the 9 months ending September 30, capital expenditures were approximately $356.9 million, or 19.8% of revenue, inclusive of $60.7 million for Operation ASB. And since the inception of Operation ASB last year, we have spent $95.9 million on this initiative. We now expect full year 2015 capital expenditures to be approximately $465 to $475 million, inclusive of approximately $85 million for Operation Gigaspeed. The $15 million decrease in our previously disclosed guidance range is due primarily to the shift of certain commercial and carrier projects from 2015 to 2016. We expect full-year 2015 capital expenditures to be less than 20% of revenue. On page 16, we summarize free cash flow results. In the third quarter of 2015, free cash flow of $76.1 million was up 104.6% from the year-ago period. This increase was due primarily to an increase in adjusted EBITDA, offset in part by an increase in capital expenditures driven by Operation Gigaspeed, and an increase in cash interest expense, primarily due to increased average indebtedness as a result of the senior notes issued in September 2014. As mentioned on prior calls, we expect to continue generating significant free cash flow, even with the continued investments we're making in Operation Gigaspeed. Turning to page 17, you'll see that as of September 30, the face amount of our debt outstanding was approximately $5.066 billion, comprised of $2.3 billion of senior secured term loans at Sequel Communications, LLC, $1.5 billion of 6.375% senior notes at Sequel Communications Holdings 1, $1.25 billion of 5.125% senior notes at Sequel Communications Holdings 1, and $14.9 million of capital leases and other obligations at Sequel Communications, LLC. At September 30, we had approximately $269.2 million of cash on hand and approximately $478.1 million available under our $500 million revolving credit facility after taking into account $21.9 million of outstanding letters of credit. Our secured bank leverage ratio, as calculated under our credit agreement, was 2.33 times, which was in compliance with our bank covenant with significant cushion. And our total leverage ratio, as calculated under the indentures governing both the 6.375% and 5.125% senior notes, was 5.07 times. As of September 30, we had no interest rate hedges in place, and the weighted average cost of our debt was 4.76%. Finally, before I turn the call back over to the operator to facilitate questions, I would like to remind everyone that this is a public call, and we will generally refrain from discussing information other than what has been disclosed in our earnings release, quarterly report, and these prepared remarks. In addition, please remember that, beyond what Jerry has noted during his remarks, we will not have further comment today nor take any questions on the Altice acquisition agreement, the closing process, or the post-closing future. Thank you. Operator?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen on the phone line, if you have a question, press star followed by one. To remove that question, press star two. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset and press the keypad. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, press star one. Our first question is from the line of Jason Kim from Goldman Sachs.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for holding the call today. And Jerry, best of luck in your future endeavors. You talked a little bit about your October RGU trends, and I was wondering if there's any new promotional offers you're putting out in the marketplace to lock in subscribers ahead of the Altice deal closing, and any changes you have seen from DirecTV from a competitive standpoint following the acquisition by AT&T.
Right. So first, with respect to offers, obviously, Jason, as you know, over the years, we've always done our best to balance share versus yield, and the third quarter was an opportunity for us to yet do that again. We did have some adjustments in some of our package pricing. We took some of our packages up a bit, called $4 to $5 on average, and in terms of standalone internet offers, we took that pricing up from what had previously been $35 to $39 for standalone 50 meg internet. That in the third quarter may have had some impact on some of our connects and our ability to sell in bundles. Since that time, as Jerry mentioned, in October, we've taken a further look at that, and in efforts to drive our bundled pricing, we've gotten a little bit more competitive on the margin with respect to triple play pricing. We're still in the, you know, $90 to $99 range as it relates to our triple play offers. Our take rates have improved significantly. Our sales execution on inbound demand has certainly improved as well. It really has nothing to do with the pending Altice acquisition, and everything to do with how we continue to run our business and focus on growing share in the markets we serve. As it relates to DirecTV, since their acquisition by AT&T, other than some combined brand messaging in the marketplace, we have not felt any registrable impact from any offers they might have in the marketplace.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of David Phipps with Citigroup.
Hi, congratulations on the quarter and your new endeavors. Can you talk a little bit about the competitive environment outside the satellite broadcasters?
Yes. So first, just to frame it up, and I presume that you're talking about wired video competition.
Yes.
Our overlap overall continues to be just less than 10%. Of wired video providers in our market, be it UVerse or other smaller type overbuilders, Consolidated, Grande, et cetera. And the UVerse overlap is just shy of 6% of total homes passed. So there's not relative to others, not a meaningful amount of competitive wired overlap. As it relates, you know, with the efforts that we put forth around Operation Gigaspeed, both in terms of both adding higher level services for our internet customers, as well as we reclaim bandwidth, adding some more HD programming on our video side and increasing our VOD library, we've remained very competitive vis-a-vis those other providers. And as it relates to offers in the marketplace, et cetera, really nothing to note of any meaningful change from those providers.
Okay, and then finally, just for modeling purposes, is this the last big bump in the stock comp quarter? So you've had two in a row at $42 million this time?
This is the last big bump until there's a change of control. Sure. And when there's a change of control, our profits interest accelerate. So in a business as usual context, this is the last large bump. But I just remind you, under a change in control, there'll be additional non-stock comp that's booked.
Understood. Thank you, and congrats on your next job.
Thank you, Mr. Phipps. Our next question comes from the line of Mike Pace with J.P. Morgan.
Hi, thanks. I think this is for Tom or Jerry, but Tom, you gave a lot of information earlier on pricing and speeds. And I'm just wondering, and maybe we should focus on upgraded markets, what is the new rack rate that you're offering, and what percentage are you able to upsell, and really to what speeds, and what the incremental ARPU boost is that you're seeing there?
Right. So, okay, Mike. So so our flagship speed is 50 meg. In our markets where we've launched 1 gig, the other services available would be 100 meg, 200 meg, and then obviously 1 gig. The 50 meg is available $35 in a bundle, $39 on a standalone. It comes with a 250 gigabyte allowance. For an additional $10, you can go to 100 meg service. For an additional $10, you can go to 200 meg service, and then you're up in the $100 range for our 1 gig service. And with each of those incremental speed adjustments, you're getting more gigabit allowance. Our sell-in rate above the 50 meg on new customers is approaching 50% now. So we're doing a great job of getting customers into even higher speed packages. If you recall our initial plans on Operation GigaSpeed, over time we will likely increase that 50 meg flagship service as well, and then at the same time we would increase the 100 and 200 meg services as well.
And that 50% sell-in to higher speeds, are you seeing people go to 100 megs? Is that the majority, or are you seeing people go much higher than that?
I would say both, mainly 100 and 200 meg.
Yeah.
The only other thing I would add is, and we talk about Wi-Fi at home, that's typically an additional $10 charge per month, and we're getting about a 63% take rate for that. So that also drives our internet revenue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. Gotcha. Yeah, okay,
so our revenue per connect, obviously on internet connects, is increasing year over year, you know, fairly significantly.
And as customers reach these caps that you mentioned, I'm wondering, how do you deal with that? Are there other charges? Are you slowing, throttling down, or anything like that?
Sure, and just as you know, we don't refer to them as caps. They're allowances, and we have no caps, so people can use as much as they care to. We do have charges if they exceed the allowances within their plan, and that is on an after-the-fact basis, it's $10 for each 50 gigabyte. You can also prepay, and for $10 get 50% more or 75 gigabyte. And as Jerry mentioned in his comments, we're also seeing, you know, 17,000 on average of our customers upgrade speeds throughout the month. And part of that is being driven by our contacting those customers around their usage and the allowance plans. And so they're electing to take a higher speed with a higher allowance as a result of their usage patterns.
Let me just make one thing perfectly clear from that question. We do not throttle traffic. We do not slow down traffic. We treat all traffic the same. We follow all the net neutrality principles, and we'll continue to do so.
Gotcha. And then, Jerry, I may not have this opportunity again, so I'm wondering if you could take out your crystal ball a little bit for us. And I'm wondering, going forward, if more video comes over the top, and how do you think your ability to extract more value from the broadband pipe, whether it's from allowances or caps, how do you see that playing out across the industry?
Well, I think there will be continued internet traffic with video. I think we'll see intensified competition. I think that will lead to some unbundling of the bundle over the next few years. I just can't see a situation where we have double-digit cost increases and force those costs through to consumers forever, like we've been doing the past number of years. Where the value is, Mike, is that regardless of allowance billing, and yes, overage charges have become a significant revenue stream for us. But I think the best thing still is we by far have the best broadband pipe into the home. There is virtually no one, maybe a few percent at most, who can provide the speeds that we're providing. And call it 95%+, 97%+, if you want a good broadband experience, if you're going to continue to accelerate how much video you're watching online, you're going to come to us because we have a far superior service. And that's generally true of cable operators, except maybe for Fios, where you're competing against Fios. And as a result, I think we're going to continue to provide the best value proposition. People will continue to bundle services with us with our leading internet service. I think that allowance billing is a little bit of a hedge in terms of if there's more and more video going online, we'll get some overage charges. But we frankly don't want to have the overage charges get to be too big of a revenue stream for us. We think that could lead to some additional churn. And so we'll be very careful in how we handle the allowances. We'll also treat all traffic the same, so we won't, if we're delivering a service over the internet, we're going to charge the same overages as if their competitor does, so that we maintain a level playing field. But I think just having that superior broadband service is going to continue to be the main driver of value for a company like ours going forward.
And then while the crystal ball is out, I'm wondering if I could take one more shot at something here. You know, if you think about the industry overall and not just Suddenlink, but how important do you think wireless can become to the industry as other line items may slow growth, whether it's commercial or broadband? How do you see wireless playing out? And I realize that scale is important in that business, so I'm talking about larger players, industry as a whole.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. My crystal ball is a little fuzzy on that. For a company like us, or even if you're 10, 12, 15 million customers, I think it's going to be difficult to mesh in wireless because you won't have a nationwide footprint for wireless versus a limited footprint for a cable operator. I think it's difficult. It'd be interesting to see what AT&T does with DirecTV with a nationwide footprint and their wireless service. I think that will drive some competitive response from the larger operators, and so I think scale will matter there. I don't think it's a near-term issue, but I think longer-term, I would expect that the quadruple play will definitely be something offered by the real large operators in this space. So I think it's important long term. In the near to mid term, I don't see it as a big issue.
Great. Thanks so much.
Sure. I mean, just one follow up. I mean, where UVerse has been in our markets for a number of years, and they have a quadruple play, and they really haven't capitalized on it in those markets. And so far, it hasn't been a real issue for us.
Thank you, Mr. Pace. There are currently no additional questions waiting from the phone lines.
Great. Well, thank you, everyone, for your continued interest. I really appreciate it. I've had a lot of fun over the years with this company and have enjoyed these conference calls and interaction. And thank you very much, and have a great rest of the week.